countrywide on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Caller Gas, celebrating 80 years, bringing energy to Ireland's homes and businesses.
Farmer Gerard Deegan won the RDS Forestry Award last week for his plantation near Mullingar. Alongside organic poultry and a small number of organic cattle, Gerard planted 100 acres of his land 7 years ago in trees, half Scots pine, half in broadleaves, sycamore, oak and many other species. Well, Suzanne Campbell visited Gerard's farm to find out about biodiversity and why he left dairy farming to plant trees.
It's amazing, even this year now, maybe just a month ago, I finished up going through the beech and the oak was shaping some of it. And the mountain nests this year, there was hundreds of nests.
Of different amazing. Types of different, birds?
Yeah, yeah. Particularly in the beech now. Within a few years, it's amazing what the life that's after coming back into it.
I can see here, this is obviously the broadleaf section.
This is part of it. This is the sycamore part.
Okay,
here.
And what way is that planted? Is it mixed in each area? Tell us about that.
It would be mixed. This plot, it's small enough now. There's about 4 acres in this. So there's a couple of plots of Scots pine. But around it then, I'd have different trees planted. Maybe it could be a few lime trees, cherry trees, a few birch or alder then as well. So there's plenty of diversification around the place.
Do you have to thin these now? Because how tall would you describe this plantation?
The sycamore has done very well now. It says some of them are nearly up to 20 foot. Liam Kelly now would be my own Chagas advisor. He reckons maybe after year 14, there could be a first thin going on in it.
And what would you do with that timber then? Is that a commercial kind of use?
No, it'd be too small. It'd be mainly firewood. It's really to create space and allow the other trees beside them to grow quicker and create a good crown. This is mainly Scots pine. Different trees planted in. That's a weeping willow here. We have a couple of red oaks at the back. That's a lime tree.
These are more commercial. These come to maturity when?
Probably full maturity, maybe at year 40.
40? Wow, yeah, still a long way away. You won't be around then. Well, maybe you will.
Never know. Deer in an oak.
And how big will they be by then?
Maybe by year 16, probably, there'll be a lot of tinning going on here as well. So we'll see how it goes.
People rage against Sitka spruce and the commercial crops. Why did you go for 50% these and 50% the broadleaves?
It was mainly from a financial point of view, and the forestry department were pushing more for Sitka at the time because of the commercial side of things.
Yeah. Like,
we're looking very far ahead when you're thinking of oak and ash and beech.
Are the payments the same for these and the broadleaf at the moment?
No, the broadleaves would be greater. So in 20 years' time, I was fortunate to get the grant for 20 years. At the moment, I was going back to 15 years.
Okay.
It's a crop that's viable. There's foresters interested in purchasing even after 20 years. They give you an increment for the following 20 years. So I look on it as a pension. Even though my payments are gone, I still get an income from it.
Okay.
And it's increasing in value all the time. So that
Whereas
was another.
The broadleaves give you a payment for 20, is it?
20 years, yeah.
And then it just stops.
It stops, yeah.
And the only income after that is
tinnings. And there'll be continual. If you look after it properly, it's amazing how quickly you can come back in, maybe every 3 or 4 years, and you're getting greater value. Your trees are growing bigger. But the tinnings are getting larger. You're moving up into better quality wood then. And I would be very strongly of the opinion of ProSilva, continuous cover forestry. I would envisage there would always be trees coming along at different stages of growth.
So that could potentially be here for a very, very long time, that plantation.
Yeah.
That would be a nice way to look on it.
Yeah.
Now we lads, how are you? How are you?
Hello.
Just
little youngsters.
Yeah.
Getting out of dairy, that is a big, big move for someone who's milking twice a day, I presume, and dairy been in your life all the time. What was the moment that you decided to get out of dairy?
Oh, gosh, there was a lot of different factors. I'm not married, I don't have any family, so that was one part of it. There was nobody going to come on and take on dairying. I asked myself then, how long am I going to stay in dairying? Am I going to let this put me into the ground? There's a lot of things I'd like to do in life as well.
And it ties you?
It ties me. Now, I never minded that part or the working part, and farmers don't. They'll be up all night, they'll put every hour God gave them into farming because they enjoy doing it and they like being with livestock. The most difficult part for me was actually regulations. And it's people coming in telling you what to do. And it's never good enough. An inspector come in today and say, well, no, maybe you'd be better doing that. Another fellow come in tomorrow and say, well, maybe you should do this. So there'll always be something. Even though you're doing the best you can, it's never good enough. I found that very difficult myself. Some people can let it wash off them like water off a duck's back. But the pressure of that on me. And unfortunately, even two friends of mine, one very good friend, commit suicide because of pressure, but it's never spoken about. Lord have mercy, it's very sad when you see it that last straw. That was the straw that broke.
It stopped making you happy as well.
Oh, gosh, yeah, yeah.
When
yeah.
you can't do what you want to do, it stops being a pleasure, I'd imagine.
Exactly, exactly. Then what am I going to do? Health-wise as well, I got a little reminder on the health front as well, and you become more vulnerable and you realise you can't go on forever either. So yeah. I started looking at different options, whether it be to set the land or put it back in forestry. I still like to be able to walk through my own land, and forestry came down big on that time. And I love forestry. I love trees. Another aspect then was nature and the environment, the way things are going. I was privileged to be in a position that I could actually do something that hopefully will help the environment in the future. I think at this moment in time, air and water are the most critical things in the world. Food is not the problem. Maybe in the future it will. So to help in some small way by changing what we're at into a more sustainable form of farming. And I would look at forestry as that. It's another way of farming. By spending the time in there, getting good trees going, getting good sequestration of carbon down into the soil. And it can be done. People say, gosh, there's only a drop in the ocean. I keep beehives here.
Yes, I see them there.
They're a fantastic creature. Last year, I had one brilliant hive. It gave nearly up to 150 pound of honey.
Wow.
And when you think of them little insects coming in with a spit in their mouth, that they can make that amount,
that's
that
amazing.
Volume, a drop in the ocean. When you put it all together, that was an example to me. Don't worry about what anyone else says. You do your own bit. And everybody wants to do their own bit. So not to be afraid, and it will work out in the end, but people just have to do it themselves. You be the change you want to see.
Suzanne Campbell there on the farm of Gerard Deegan near Mullingar. And well done to Gerard there.